Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex.
And I'm Sam. It is Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. And Alex, I have to say, I came into the studio this morning and I was like, okay, today is one of those days where there's just a lot happening. Like a lot.
There really is. We've got security models. We've got Excel of all things. We've got IPO talk. We've got, and this is the one that got me when I was reading through the briefing this morning. Anthropic is out here calling for the ability to literally pause frontier AI development, which, given that they are a frontier AI company, is, I mean...
Which is wild. That's a wild sentence to say out loud.
It is. We will get to that. But we're going to start with the biggest story of the morning, which is Claude Mythos, because this has been building for a while in the background, and it sounds like things are about to get very real very fast.
Yeah, let's do it.
So Claude Mythos, for listeners who haven't been following this closely, Mythos is Anthropic's specialized security-focused AI model. This is not a general-purpose assistant. This is a model built specifically for cybersecurity work. Finding vulnerabilities, reasoning about attack surfaces, that kind of thing. And this morning, we're getting signals that it is approaching public release.
And the context here is important, right? Because Mythos has been in this early access phase with a pretty selective group of partners. Security researchers, red teams, some enterprise customers, and the results that are starting to come out of that phase are genuinely striking.
They are. So the headline number that's making the rounds is that Mythos helped discover thousands. And I want to be careful here because the exact figure varies across different reporting, but we're talking about thousands of previously unknown vulnerabilities across real software, real systems.
Okay, so wait, thousands, not like 100, thousands.
Thousands. And these are 0 days, essentially. Unknown vulnerabilities. Things that hadn't been cataloged before.
Right. And that's the thing that I think people need to sit with for a second. Because finding one 0 day vulnerability is a big deal. Security researchers can spend weeks on a single CVE. The fact that you have a model that can churn through code bases or configurations or whatever the attack surface is at scale and identify vulnerabilities that humans missed, that's a genuinely different capability class.
And the early access partners seem to have demonstrated this enough that Anthropic is now comfortable moving toward a public release. The exact timing hasn't been pinned down in the reporting I've seen, but the language is very much imminent and approaching.
So who gets access? Is this just going to be open to anyone, or is there some kind of verification process?
That's still being worked out from what we can tell. The expectation seems to be that there will be some level of screening. You're not just going to be able to spin up Mythos the way you'd start a chat session on Claude.ai. There'll be some kind of access management. But compared to the tight early access pool they've been running, it's going to be significantly more open.
Which makes sense. And look, the dual use question here is obviously enormous, right? Because a model that's really good at finding vulnerabilities is that sword cuts both ways. Like, the same capability that lets a defender find a 0 day before an attacker does is also a capability that an attacker could theoretically use to find 0 days faster.
Anthropic has talked about this pretty extensively in their safety framing around Mythos. The argument is essentially that defenders have historically been at a disadvantage because attackers only need to find one way in, and defenders need to cover everything. And if you can give defenders an AI system that levels that playing field or tilts it back toward the defense, that's a net positive for security overall.
Yeah, and I think most serious security researchers would agree with that framing in principle. The question is always execution and access controls. But the fact that the early access results are strong enough to drive toward public launch, that's a meaningful signal that the model is actually working as intended.
It really is. And I'll be curious to see how the security community receives this more broadly when it opens up. Because there's a contingent of security researchers who have been very skeptical about AI's ability to do genuine vulnerability research versus just regurgitating known CVE patterns. If Mythos can actually demonstrate novel discovery at scale, that's going to shift some opinions.
Big story. Big story to watch. Okay, so from security to, I don't know, spreadsheets?
We're going to spreadsheets. We are absolutely going to spreadsheets.
So Microsoft and Excel, tell me everything.
Okay, so the partnership between Microsoft and Anthropic has been building for a while, but the announcement we're looking at today is specifically about Claude being embedded into Microsoft Excel. And the number that keeps coming up in this story is 750 million. That is the estimated number of Excel users worldwide.
Okay. 750 million people.
750 million potential users of a Claude-powered feature inside Excel.
I mean, That's more than the population of North and South America combined. Like, that's just an enormous number.
It is. And this is the thing about enterprise distribution that I think sometimes gets lost when we talk about AI adoption. Everyone focuses on the headline user numbers for consumer AI products, right? Like ChatGPT has this many users, Claude.ai has this many users. But when you start talking about embedding these models into software that's already installed everywhere, every enterprise desktop, every finance department, every government agency, the potential reach is just categorically different.
Right, because you're not asking someone to sign up for a new thing. You're just, it's there, in the thing they already use every day.
Exactly. And Excel specifically is interesting because spreadsheet work is one of those areas where there's a really clear wedge for AI assistance. Formula writing, data analysis, building out pivot tables, explaining what a complex model is doing, these are tasks that a lot of Excel users struggle with and where a capable language model can add genuine value immediately.
And not just for power users, right? Like, one of the knock-on effects of having Claude in Excel is that it potentially democratizes some of the more advanced Excel functionality. Because right now there's this huge gap between what Excel can do and what the average user actually uses it for, because the learning curve for formulas and macros and all of that is steep.
That's a really good point. And I think that's probably part of what Microsoft is betting on here, that having an AI assistant in Excel doesn't just make existing power users more efficient, it potentially converts casual users into more capable ones, which has all kinds of business value for Microsoft.
So what does this mean for Anthropic in terms of, like, actual business impact? Because 750 million potential users sounds great, but how does that actually translate to revenue?
The specifics of the commercial arrangement haven't been fully disclosed, but the general structure of these kinds of embedded partnerships tends to be some kind of per-seat or usage-based licensing arrangement, where Microsoft pays Anthropic based on how much the Claude functionality gets used within their product. So Anthropic doesn't need to close 750 million individual deals. They close one deal with Microsoft, and then they ride the distribution.
Which is a very different go-to-market than trying to build a consumer product from scratch. It's the picks and shovels play, basically.
Exactly the picks and shovels play. And it fits with the broader Anthropic enterprise strategy, which has been very much about getting Claude embedded into the tools and platforms that businesses already rely on, rather than trying to win a direct consumer war against the bigger players.
Smart. Okay, speaking of enterprise strategy,
we've got a couple more of those, yeah.
LGCNS.
LGCNS. So for listeners who aren't familiar, LGCNS is the IT services and solutions arm of the LG Group, the big Korean conglomerate. They do systems integration, cloud services, digital transformation consulting, that kind of thing. And they've just announced a deployment of Claude Enterprise across their organization.
How big is this deployment? Like, are we talking about a few pilot teams, or is this an org-wide thing?
The language in the announcement is org-wide. This is LGCNS deploying Claude Enterprise as a foundational tool for their workforce, which is significant because LGCNS is not a small organization. We're talking about a company with thousands of employees across multiple countries doing mission-critical IT work for major enterprise clients.
And Claude Enterprise, for listeners who might not know the product tiers, this is Anthropic's top-tier offering for large organizations, right? It comes with enhanced security, more customization options, priority access, that kind of thing.
Right. Extended context windows, better compliance features, admin controls for large teams, dedicated support. It's designed for companies where you're deploying this to a big workforce and you need it to be managed and governed properly.
And the interesting thing about an IT services company specifically deploying this is that it's not just an internal use case, because LGCNS is going to be using these tools to serve their clients. So when they deploy Claude Enterprise, they're potentially building Claude-powered capabilities into the solutions they deliver to the Korean and global enterprise market.
That's a really important point, and I'm glad you raised it. Because a lot of the conversation around enterprise AI adoption focuses on companies using AI for their own internal productivity. But when an IT services firm or a systems integrator deploys AI, the multiplier effect is much larger, because they're building with it, not just using it.
Which actually is a perfect segue.
It really is.
CINT.
CINT. Yes, so CINT is a digital transformation company. They do a lot of enterprise software development, business process transformation, that kind of thing. And the announcement here is about them joining Anthropic's partner network, specifically as a systems integrator. And the detail that jumped out to me in this one is that CI&T has more than 1,000 certified AI engineers.
1,000? That's... Okay, so that's not like, we have some people who know how to use Claude. That's a serious, dedicated, trained workforce.
A dedicated, certified workforce. And that word certified is doing some work here because it means these aren't just people who've played around with the API. These are engineers who have gone through whatever Anthropic's certification program involves and can be deployed on enterprise projects to build Claude-powered solutions.
And from Anthropic's perspective, this is exactly the kind of partner that expands your addressable market without you having to hire all of those people yourself. Because Anthropic is, what, a few thousand employees? They can't staff enterprise implementations for every client who wants a custom Claude deployment. But if you've got a network of certified partners who can do that work,
you scale without scaling headcount, yeah.
And CI&T has a pretty significant presence in Latin America, right? Like, they're a Brazilian company originally. So this also has implications for geographic expansion into markets where Anthropic might not have as strong a direct sales presence.
Exactly. And I think that's the play here. You look at LG CNS in Korea, you look at CI&T in Latin America and elsewhere, and you start to see a pattern of Anthropic building out a global distribution network through partners who understand local markets and have existing client relationships.
It's classic enterprise software playbook. Get the SIs on board and let them sell into their books of business.
Classic, yes, but it's working. And the numbers we're about to talk about suggest it's working in a pretty dramatic way.
The 306% number. We have to talk about the 306% number.
So Claude adoption is up 306%. That's the headline figure. Now, the exact time period and the exact definition of adoption matters here. This appears to be measuring active Claude users or active deployments over a roughly year-over-year window. But however you slice the methodology, 306% growth is...
It's not incremental. It's not like, yeah, things are going well. That's explosive.
It's explosive. And it's the kind of number that makes sense when you combine everything we've been talking about this morning. You've got the Microsoft Excel integration about to expose Claude to potentially hundreds of millions of users. You've got enterprise deployments like LG CNS. You've got a growing SI partner network. You've got Mythos drawing in the security market. All of these things compound.
And it's interesting because I remember maybe a year ago, there was a lot of conversation about whether Claude was sort of playing second fiddle in the consumer market, like it wasn't capturing the same kind of zeitgeist as some competitors. And I think what's happening is that the enterprise-first strategy is paying off in a way that the raw consumer mindshare numbers weren't capturing.
Right. Like, a consumer might not have Claude as their first-choice chatbot for casual use, but if their Excel has Claude built in, and their company's internal tools are running on Claude, and the software their IT vendor builds for them is powered by Claude, they're using Claude constantly, even if they don't think of themselves as Claude users.
Invisible infrastructure. Claude as infrastructure.
That is a very good way to put it.
And then there's Claude Code.
And then there's Claude Code. 131,000 GitHub stars.
That's, okay, for context, 131,000 GitHub stars is a massive number for any software project. Like, you're talking about a level of developer community engagement that puts you in the top tier of open source projects globally. And Claude Code isn't even open source in the traditional sense. It's a developer tool that people are just choosing to star because they're genuinely excited about it.
Right. GitHub stars are essentially a proxy for developer enthusiasm and community buy-in. And for a coding AI tool to accumulate that many stars is a signal that the developer community, which can be very skeptical, very vocal about what's good and what's hype, has decided that Claude Code is worth paying attention to.
And developer adoption is strategically huge for Anthropic because developers build things. Like, a developer who loves Claude Code doesn't just use it themselves. They build apps and tools and services on Claude's API. They evangelize it to their teams. They architect systems around it. So winning developers has this massive multiplier effect on the whole ecosystem.
There's a saying in tech, win the developers, win the platform. And 131,000 GitHub stars suggests Anthropic is doing very well on that front.
Okay, so we've talked about security, enterprise, adoption numbers. Let's talk money, because there is some very interesting news on that front.
There is. So Anthropic is reportedly pursuing a public listing, and the company that keeps coming up in the same breath is OpenAI, and this is the one that makes you do a double take, SpaceX.
Yeah, like, those are interesting names to put in the same sentence.
So the context here is that there's been a lot of discussion in financial circles about a wave of major private companies potentially moving toward public markets, and Anthropic is now being discussed as part of that cohort. The reporting suggests Anthropic is exploring a public listing, whether that's a traditional IPO, a direct listing, some other structure that hasn't been specified, but the direction of travel seems to be toward public markets.
And the timing of this is interesting, because Anthropic has raised extraordinary amounts of private capital. We're talking about billions from Amazon, from Google, from others. So the question of why go public now is worth asking.
There are a few different theories. One is just that the investors who came in early want liquidity. When you've raised that much private capital, eventually the people who wrote those checks want to be able to sell their positions. And a public listing is the mechanism for that.
Yeah, that's just the financial mechanics.
The second theory is that being a public company changes your competitive posture in certain ways. It gives you a different kind of credibility, a different kind of access to capital markets, and depending on how you structure it, potentially more flexibility in how you pursue the mission.
Although, and I've seen some pushback on this, going public also introduces new pressures, like quarterly earnings scrutiny, short-term shareholder interests, all of that. And for a company that has built its brand around safety and long-termism, there's a real tension between the time horizons of public market investors and the time horizons of responsible AI development.
That tension is real. And I think it's why the IPO discussion is interesting beyond just the financial mechanics. Because Anthropic has this unusual corporate structure, the public benefit corporation framing, the long-term benefit trust, and how that translates into a publicly traded company is genuinely complex.
OpenAI is dealing with some of those questions too, as they've been navigating their own corporate restructuring. So it's not like there's a clear template.
There really isn't. And SpaceX being mentioned in the same breath is interesting because SpaceX is one of these companies that has defied conventional wisdom about needing to go public to access growth capital. They've raised enormous amounts privately and stayed private for a long time. So whether Anthropic is really in the same category as SpaceX in terms of investor appetite is worth watching.
Right. SpaceX has this unique strategic asset in its launch monopoly in various markets. Anthropic's competitive moat is more about the quality of the model and the safety reputation. Different kinds of moats.
Very different moats. Okay, so we've covered a lot of positive momentum this morning. Growing adoption, new partnerships, IPO talk. But there's another story that I think is equally important, and I want to make sure we give it proper time.
The pause thing.
The pause thing.
So, Anthropic. A company that is building some of the most powerful AI systems in the world, that is growing at 306%, that is about to go public, is out here saying that regulators should have the option to pause frontier AI development.
That is a correct and somewhat mind-bending summary, yes.
How do we process this?
So let me try to steelman the position, and then you can push back if you want. The argument from Anthropic is essentially this. The pace of AI development is currently faster than our ability to verify that these systems are safe and aligned. We're making progress on interpretability, on actually understanding what's happening inside these models. And we're making progress on evaluation frameworks. But that progress is slower than the capability progress. And so, there may be situations where the responsible thing to do is to slow down or stop capability development while we catch up on safety understanding.
Okay. I think that's a coherent argument. I've heard Dario Amodei and others make versions of this for a while. The question I always have is, who decides when to pause and who enforces it?
That's exactly the right question. Because if Anthropic pauses and nobody else does, then you haven't made the world safer. You've just ceded ground to competitors who may have less robust safety cultures. It's the classic collective action problem.
Right, it's like unilateral disarmament. Which is why the call is for regulators to have the option, because the idea is you need a coordinating mechanism that applies across companies and ideally across countries.
And internationally, which is the really hard part. Because you can imagine a framework where the US, UK, EU agree to some kind of pause mechanism. But if that doesn't include China, and China is continuing to develop frontier models at speed,
then you've created a competitive disadvantage without a safety benefit. Because the frontier keeps advancing, just from a different geography.
And this is where I think Anthropic's position is genuinely difficult, because they are simultaneously the company that is building Claude Mythos and closing enterprise deals and pursuing an IPO and growing at 300%, all of which requires them to stay at or near the frontier. And they are also the company that is most loudly saying, we need mechanisms to potentially stop what we're doing.
It's not hypocrisy exactly. I think it's more like they believe they're the responsible actor who has to stay in the race because the alternative is worse actors winning the race. But they also recognize that even responsible actors racing is dangerous. And so they want an external forcing mechanism that would take the decision out of any individual company's hands.
Which is actually a somewhat sophisticated policy position. It's saying, I can't be trusted to pause myself when the competitive pressure not to is so intense, so I'm asking for a system where the pressure is equalized by regulation. It's a bit like companies in certain industries lobbying for regulations that constrain everyone, including themselves, because they know the race to the bottom dynamics are bad for everyone.
Yeah. And it also maybe reflects genuine fear inside Anthropic about where things are going. Like, you don't call for pause mechanisms if you think everything is fine.
No, you don't. And the timing of this is notable. This is coming at a moment when capability progress is genuinely accelerating across the industry. New model releases are happening faster. The gap between what these systems can do now and what they could do 2 years ago is enormous. And the gap 2 years from now could be even larger.
The honest answer is, nobody knows. And I think that's what's driving the call for optionality. Not, we know a pause is necessary, but we might need the ability to pause, and we should build that infrastructure before we need it rather than scrambling to build it in a crisis.
That is a very reasonable summary. And it's a story we're going to be following closely because how regulators in the US and elsewhere respond to this is going to shape the industry in a fundamental way.
It's not going away.
It is not going away. Okay, let's take a step back and look at the big picture of today's news, because I think there's a coherent story here that's worth naming.
Yeah, do the synthesis thing. I'll tell you if I agree.
So what we're seeing in today's reporting is, I think, three things happening simultaneously at Anthropic. First, there's a commercial momentum story that is genuinely impressive. 306% adoption growth, major enterprise deployments, the Microsoft Excel integration, the partner network expansion, Claude Code at 131,000 GitHub stars. By any commercial metric, Anthropic is doing extremely well.
Yeah, that's hard to argue with.
Second, there's a capability expansion story. Claude Mythos is about to bring Anthropic into the security market in a serious way, which is both a commercial opportunity and a demonstration that Anthropic is building specialized, domain-specific AI systems, not just general assistance. That's a meaningful evolution of the product strategy.
And the security market is huge. Enterprise security is one of the biggest spending categories in all of technology.
Huge and growing. And third, and this is the one that creates the most interesting tension with the other two, there's a safety and governance story where Anthropic is raising alarms about the pace of development across the entire industry, including presumably their own development, and calling for regulatory infrastructure that could constrain what they and their competitors do.
So you've got, we're growing incredibly fast, we're expanding into new markets, we're going public, and also, maybe someone should be able to hit pause on all of this, including us.
That is the story. And I don't think it's a contradiction exactly. I think it's a company that genuinely believes in both imperatives, the commercial one and the safety one, and is trying to advance both at the same time. Whether that's possible long term, whether those imperatives remain compatible as the stakes get higher, I think is the central question of the next few years in AI.
It's the central question of maybe the next decade in technology broadly.
Possibly.
Okay. I want to go back to something for a second before we wrap up, because I don't think we gave enough time to the CINT thing, because I think the partner network story is actually more important than it sounds.
Go ahead.
So when you have a company like CINT with over 1,000 certified AI engineers joining your partner network, what you're really doing is building the implementation layer that transforms API access into actual enterprise deployments. And that's historically been one of the hardest things for AI companies to scale.
Because there's a gap between we have a great API and an enterprise customer has a working, integrated, compliant, cloud-powered solution in their workflow.
Right. Bridging that gap requires people. It requires people who understand the client systems, who understand data privacy and compliance requirements in various industries, who can do the change management to get employees to actually use the thing. And Anthropic can't hire all those people. It would take years and billions of dollars.
But if you can build a network of partners who have those people and who you've certified to implement Claude properly,
then you get the distribution without having to own it all. And the interesting thing about CINT specifically is that a lot of their expertise is in exactly the kinds of industries where AI can have the most transformative impact. financial services, healthcare adjacent work, manufacturing, retail. These are not small markets.
And the 1,000 plus certified engineers number is, I keep coming back to this, it's not a pilot number. That's not, we sent 50 of our people to a training. That's a serious organizational commitment.
It means CINT is betting its business development strategy, at least in part, on Claude. That's a significant vote of confidence from a company that has its own reputation to protect.
Which, when you combine it with LG CNS making a similar bet in Korea, you start to see how the global rollout can actually work. You don't need Anthropic to have offices in Seoul and Sao Paulo. You need credible local partners who are deeply invested in Claude succeeding.
Platform strategy 101, but executed really well.
And it connects back to the adoption number two. Because 306% growth doesn't happen organically. It happens when you have sales and implementation capacity that can serve the demand. The partner network is part of what makes that growth number possible and sustainable.
Right. It's not just vanity metrics. There's infrastructure behind it.
Okay. I want to spend a minute on the IPO story because I don't think we fully explored one dimension of it, which is what going public means for Anthropic's relationship with its existing strategic investors.
Amazon and Google.
Amazon and Google, both of whom have made enormous investments in Anthropic. Amazon specifically, we're talking about billions committed, with deep integration into Amazon Web Services. And Google has similarly been a major investor and integration partner.
So if Anthropic goes public, what happens to those relationships? Because right now, those partnerships are partly transactional. You invest, you get favorable terms on cloud compute, you get integration priority, and partly strategic, in the sense that having a stake in Anthropic gives you influence over the direction of a potentially very important AI company.
In a public company, that influence becomes more complicated. Your stake gets diluted. Your board representation changes. Other shareholders have claims on the company's direction. The cozy private company relationship evolves into something more arm's length.
Although, and this is a nuance, Amazon and Google would likely maintain significant stakes even post-IPO. They're not going to sell out on day one, so they'd still be major shareholders, just with more company around the table.
True. And the compute relationships don't necessarily change based on ownership structure. Anthropic still needs massive amounts of cloud compute. And Amazon Web Services and Google Cloud are going to compete hard for that business, regardless of whether Anthropic is public or private.
But there's something interesting about being a public company in terms of your ability to negotiate those relationships. Because right now, if Amazon wants to adjust terms, there's a pretty direct line from investor to management. In a public company, that's more constrained. Anthropic's fiduciary duty is to all shareholders, not just the big strategic ones.
Which could actually be a source of leverage, paradoxically.
Or a source of friction, depending on how you look at it.
Yeah. I think the honest answer is that nobody knows exactly how this plays out, and the structure of whatever public listing Anthropic pursues will matter a lot. There are all kinds of ways you can structure a public offering to preserve certain governance features, voting rights, founder control. Whether Anthropic tries to preserve that kind of structure the way other tech companies have, that'll be the thing to watch.
Dario Amodei has shown that he thinks very carefully about governance structure. The whole public benefit corporation thing was not an accident. I'd expect whatever public listing looks like, there will be some thought put into preserving the mission-driven character of the company.
Agreed. And the timing question is also interesting. Because if Anthropic goes public at a moment when AI is as hot as it is, the valuation they could command is potentially extraordinary. But if they wait and the market cools, or if there's a major AI safety incident somewhere in the industry that spooks investors, that window could close quickly.
Tech IPO windows are notoriously fickle.
They really are.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit more about Claude Mythos because I want to explore one more dimension of it that I don't think we fully addressed.
Yeah, let's.
So the framing of Mythos as a defensive security tool is clear. Find vulnerabilities, help defenders. But I've been thinking about what this means for the vulnerability management market specifically. Because right now, the enterprise security market has these big vulnerability management platforms, your Qualys, your Rapid7, your Tenable, and they do a lot of automated scanning. They prioritize vulnerabilities. They help security teams figure out what to fix first.
And where does Mythos fit relative to those tools?
That's what I'm wondering. Because what Mythos apparently does, finding novel, previously unknown vulnerabilities, is actually something that existing automated scanning tools can't really do well. Traditional scanners are mostly matching against databases of known vulnerabilities. Mythos is doing genuine reasoning about code and systems to find things that aren't in any database yet.
That's a qualitatively different capability.
It's a different category almost. And that means the go-to-market question is interesting. Does Anthropic try to compete with the Qualas and Tenables of the world? Does it partner with them, plug into their workflows? Does it go direct to enterprise security teams? That strategic choice is going to define how much of the security market Anthropic can capture.
And the early access partner model they've been running suggests they've been thinking carefully about which security-forward organizations to work with first, probably to understand those workflow questions before going broad.
Right, because if you launch to everyone and nobody knows how to use it because it doesn't plug into their existing tools, you've got adoption problems. But if you've worked with 20 or 30 early access partners and understood how they're integrating it into their security operations center workflows, you can build an onboarding motion around that.
Which is probably what the controlled early access phase has been for.
Yeah, and the thousands of previously unknown vulnerabilities number makes a lot more sense in that context. That's not Anthropic running Mythos on random code bases. That's carefully selected partners using it on real enterprise environments and real open source projects over months. And the accumulated total is in the thousands.
Which is actually a more impressive and more credible number when you think about it that way. Because these aren't toy vulnerabilities in demo code. These are real vulnerabilities in real systems that will presumably get patched now.
Real CVEs, real patches, real improved security posture for real organizations. That's a concrete demonstration of value that is going to be very compelling when Anthropic goes to sell Mythos to the broader market.
And it's also a concrete demonstration that resonates with boards and CISOs in a way that abstract capability claims don't. Our early access partners found and disclosed this many previously unknown vulnerabilities using our tool. That's a pitch that lands.
Versus our model scores highly on these benchmarks, which nobody in the enterprise security world cares about.
Yeah.
So we've got Mythos, we've got Excel, we've got LGCNS, CINT, 306% growth, Claude Code, IPO discussions, pause regulation calls. It's a lot for one morning.
It's one of those mornings where you realize something fundamental has shifted. And this is the morning you're catching up with where things have gotten to.
And there's a thread through all of it, right? Like, it's not random news. The thread is Anthropic has built something technically excellent. They've built a credible safety reputation. And now they're converting both of those things into commercial scale at an extraordinary rate. And the question hovering over all of it is whether the safety concerns they're articulating about the broader industry, including their own work, can be addressed in time as that scale accelerates.
That is exactly the thread. And it's a thread we're going to be pulling on every morning on this show.
Speaking of which, anything else from the briefing today that we should touch on before we sign off?
There's a lot in the broader news ecosystem about how various sectors are starting to adopt Claude-powered tools, and I think the pattern that's emerging is interesting even if individual stories are smaller. You're seeing adoption across healthcare-adjacent services, across legal tech, across financial services, across education. It's not one vertical being disrupted. It's essentially every knowledge work sector simultaneously being reshaped by access to capable AI assistants.
And the 306% growth number starts to make more sense when you realize it's not concentrated in one industry. It's distributed across basically everything.
Which also makes it more durable, probably. If growth was concentrated in one sector, you'd worry about saturation. When it's spread across every sector, there's a lot more room to run.
And it makes the regulatory story more complicated because you can't just regulate AI in healthcare or AI in finance. If AI has become infrastructure across everything, the regulatory challenge is essentially rewriting the rules of knowledge work broadly, which is, that's a generational policy challenge.
It is. And probably why Anthropic is calling for structures to be built now, before the integration is even deeper and more entrenched. Because once AI is truly in every workflow everywhere, trying to pause or constrain it is essentially impossible.
Build the runway before you need to land the plane.
That's exactly it. Okay, I think that's where we should leave it this morning. There's plenty more to dig into, and we'll be back tomorrow with whatever develops overnight.
Yep, big week shaping up, and honestly, just a fascinating time to be covering this space. There's not a day where I come in here and think, oh, nothing happened.
Never. It is never that. For Sam, I'm Alex. This has been Claude Daily for Tuesday, June 9th, 2026. Thanks for starting your morning with us.
Take care, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow.